Worship team for leading us, and I hope you're enjoying singing some very familiar Christmas carols together today and joining together as a family, family of God, family, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, aunts, everyone here today. It's wonderful to have you with us. Another welcome to you from Calvary Baptist Church. A couple notes, if you have kids and they're restless, there are some coloring pages and mazes and stuff in the back, please. Use those if you like. If you need to use the parents' room, the nursery is acting as a parents' room tonight, so feel free to do that. Thank you, Jethro, for reading. You are less fazed by babies crying than I am usually. Good job. Let's pray really quick, and then we'll look at this together. Father, we thank you for this tonight. Thank you for sending Jesus. We praise you for this today. And Lord, as we look to your word, would you let the light of the world shine forth tonight? Let your word go deep into our hearts and change our lives forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something special and sentimental about going home or being home for Christmas. We love the nostalgia of maintaining traditions and familiar places with families. As Bing Crosby and many since him have sang, I'll be home for Christmas, you can plan on me, or Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. Is that where it finds you tonight? By this point for us as a church, many of our students and others who are not native to Ottawa have gone home. Other people have come home. You might be here tonight because of family nearby. Or maybe you live here. This is your home, and you're glad not to be traveling right now. Some of my favorite things about the Christmas season revolve around family activities. Decorating the tree together, seeing the joy on my children's faces on Christmas morning, giving gifts to loved ones, feasting together around the table. For some, though, this is a painful season because you may be lacking or missing those kinds of things. Maybe you don't have the means to travel home this year. Or maybe your home is missing someone special this year. And that hurts. But the common expectation is that we ought to be home. We ought all to be home for the holidays. And if you're not, if you'll be home for Christmas, if only in your dreams, that's sad. I'm here to tell you that if going home or being home for Christmas is what matters, then there is really good news for all of us in the original, true Christmas story. I'd love for you to actually see this good news for yourself, not just take my word for it. So if you would grab a Bible, hopefully there's some in the seats in front of you, and open it up with me to Hebrews chapter 2. If you don't know where to find that, it should be on page 1001. Should be pretty easy to find. Hebrews 2. Now, if you know your Bibles, most people wouldn't think of this chapter as part of the Christmas story. Yet it is. It fills us in on some lasting implications of the historical Christmas story for us today. We don't have time to go into depth on everything in this passage, but I hope the couple things that we'll focus on will impact our hearts this evening. The writer of Hebrews began this book by talking about Jesus Christ's supremacy above all, that he is the supreme way that God has revealed himself to us, even more than prophets and scriptures and angels. And therefore, Jesus is now the supreme king and ruler over the universe. But speaking of angels are powerful spiritual beings, heavenly warriors, heavenly messengers. And as you all know, they had central parts to play in the Christmas events. We decorate our homes with them. We sing songs about them in the season. Hark, the herald angels sing. Angels, we have heard on high. But the passage I want us to look at this evening starts by telling us that angels aren't the point. Look down with me in verse 5. So Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking." So there is someone greater than angels to whom God was giving the world, as was prophesied about in Psalm 8, a song that was written centuries before this. It says, "It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor." So this says that Jesus was made for a little while lower than the angels. When did that happen? Christmas, when God the Son, the creator and sustainer of all things, lowered himself from his eternal throne to become mortal, human, lower than angels. And yet, in that lowering, it says he was actually crowned with glory and honor. You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. So we never diminish Christ's glory by talking about the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. In fact, his glory is wonderfully displayed in that, in his humility, in his stooping majesty. We think, how can it be that God would descend to us and be born like this for us? It forever leaves us marveling. Who are we that God is mindful of us, that God would care for us? Glorious. And the manger and the stable were only just the start. Look how it continues. Second half of verse 8, it says, "Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." We're going to return to this, but this tells us that Jesus was actually born in order to suffer and die. But what was Jesus doing with all of this humility and glory? And what does it really matter to us now? We'll keep reading. Verse 10. "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise.' And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me." Now, you might not understand all that, and that's okay. But did you notice all the familial language in those verses? Sons, brothers, children. This hints at a very important truth that I want to highlight for you this evening. Namely, that Jesus came to our home to give us a new home. And by home here, I mean family. Jesus came to our home to give us a new home, a new family. Verse 10. Says that one of the reasons Jesus came to earth was to bring many sons to glory. And the outcome of this was that Jesus now sees his people as siblings. It said, that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Or later on, behold, I and the children God has given me. And by the way, don't be put off by the masculine sons or brothers here. Women are included here. To be a son was just seen as a higher privileged position in ancient homes. And so this is the imagery that God's word wants to stress, that through Jesus, all of us, male or female, can be adopted into and given the highest privileged position in a family or household. And that Christ would call us his brothers. That's kind of mind-blowing. So we aren't seen as enemies, outsiders, visitors, servants, or distant relations. We're seen as close, immediate family members standing alongside Jesus himself. Like, not equal to Jesus in power or authority, of course, but equal in our family position. That's shocking. Think about it. Sometimes well-meaning people might try to correct our priorities in this season by saying, Christmas isn't about the gifts or Santa or lights or snow. And they're not wrong. But they might include on that list, Christmas isn't about family. It's about Jesus. What if we reframe that a bit? What if Christmas is about Jesus giving us a family? Jesus giving us a family above all other families, a family with deeper bonds than blood even, a family that will outlast even death, a family with God himself as our father, a family of which our human families in their happiest moments are just a pale reflection. Might sound too good to be true, especially if you come from a difficult home situation. Maybe home wasn't a nice or safe place for you growing up. Or maybe home has changed for the worse for you through death, divorce, separation, or strife. Maybe certain family members won't be around this year. Or even if they will be, there will be eggshells to walk on or taboo discussion topics. But even though some of us taste these realities more sharply than others, I think we can recognize, if we think about it, that we all come from a broken home in need of restoration. If we call this planet home, if we call the human race our family, it has been broken by sin, evil, strife, and death. Like, when we rebelled against God, we were cut off relationally from him. Harmony has been destroyed, and in its place are alienation and judgment. But the good news is that this is what Jesus came to repair and restore. Right? He came not to bring enemies before God's throne in judgment, but children home to a father. Christ also came, this says, to show off those he'd restore. It said in verse 11, that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. And later it says, and again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Some of you have sent off Christmas cards or letters, along with pictures of your family, or if you're not as organized like us, you've probably at least received a couple from someone else. But why? Why do we do this? Because we love to show off those whom we love to other people we love. So can you imagine this verse, behold, I and the children God has given me, is a little bit like Jesus sending out a Christmas picture and you're in it. Behold, I and the children that God has given me. This means that even in the midst of the conflict or the grief of earthly families, you have a home that you're invited to this Christmas. God's own home. God's family. And Jesus didn't only offer us a place in God's family for now. He came to offer us a place in his forever home with God in heaven. Here's the other major truth I want to highlight for us tonight, that Jesus came to our home to bring us to his glorious home. And by home here, I mean destination. Jesus came to our home to bring us to his glorious home with God. Look how this passage ends, verse 14 through 18. It says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing. So he partook of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, there is so much there. We'll focus on just two things, verse 14 and verse 17. In verse 14. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. So did you know that Jesus came to be like you? He had flesh and blood just like us. If we think of the original Christmas story and picture ourselves in the story, where do you see yourself? We might picture ourselves in Mary and Joseph having a baby or looking down and adoring the baby. We might see ourselves as the shepherds, onlookers who get to share the news with other people, or perhaps the cattle and the sheep, eating away and uninterested. You know where we don't picture ourselves? In the manger. In Jesus' position. Now, we aren't Jesus, of course. However, we should sense a solidarity with that baby and see ourselves in him. Because he came down to earth in order to be like us, to show that he was with us, that he was one of us. And why? Just to experience what it's like to be a human? No, there was more to it than that. It said, he likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So he came as a human in order to die as a human in place of humanity so that he could destroy our ultimate enemies of death and the devil. Because those were standing in the way of bringing us home to God and to heaven. Remember verse 9 said this as well. It said, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. Becoming man must have been suffering for Jesus alone compared to where he was coming from. But that suffering would then continue throughout his lifetime, leading up to the culmination of suffering on the cross, where he would die as a man. Around here, we may often remind you that Jesus didn't stay a baby. Right? He grew up and died. But he didn't so much grow up from what he did at Christmas, stooping to a manger, as much as he stooped down further, all the way to a cross. And then look again at verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. On the one hand, he became like us to defeat our enemies, and on the other hand, he became like us to perfectly represent us before God. As our great high priest, he has made the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, dying to pay the penalty for our sins and to make us pleasing to God. That's what that big long word there means, to make us pleasing to God. Ever since we as the human race were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God's paradise, people have been trying to get back home, trying to restore fellowship and harmony with our Creator. Like, we know something's amiss with our lives and with our world, and we have often missed the way to restoration, making up gods of our own design or imagination, making our own sacrifices, trying to appease a god or appease the spiritual world, following whatever form of spirituality tickles our fancy, or trying to be really good, really high caliber, high character people. But really, there is no way we can get back home on our own. The way's been shut. This passage talked about us being subject to the slavery of sin. We are captives or slaves to our own darkness. So that's why I said it's really good news that Jesus did what he did by coming to our home. Because he is bringing many sons to glory. To glory. As author Glenn Scrivener puts it, God desires glorification, a world laid hold of, redeemed, and raised up into resurrection joy. Christmas should be the time we point with eager entreaty. Look, God has shown up to put things right. In becoming man, the Lord of all has taken the wheel of this world, switched on the GPS, and pressed home. That's a great way to picture it. Imagine us all in a car wreck, skidded off the road, stuck far from home. Jesus comes, pulls us from the ditch, climbs in our vehicle, sets the coordinates for home, and has set off for that destination. Today, you're invited to join Jesus on the journey home to God and to glory. You can do this by believing that he came and lived and died and rose again for you and confessing him as Lord. Lord of your life, Lord of all. And I don't think there's any better time than now to lower yourself under his glorious rule. If you want to do that, please talk to us or talk to the friend or family who brought you tonight. We see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, and we desire the same for you. So as you head home from here tonight, whether to a quiet home, festive party, think on the way that Jesus came to our home to give us a new home, and how he came to our home to bring us to his glorious home. In short, to quote Glenn Scrivener again, God the Son became God our brother so we could become children of God. Praise the Lord. Welcome home. We're going to sing together now. The worship team, why don't you come on up? And traditionally, we'll often light candles at this time, but last year, some kids got burned on the candles, and insurance companies don't look too kindly on open flames these days. So what we're going to do is we're going to dim the lights, and if